Good evening, Saints. Today is certainly a day that the Lord has made, and we ought to be glad and rejoice in it. Before we get started, let us say a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you truly as humble as we know how, God. We come to you in that posture, God, because you are in control. And so at this very moment, as others are watching, Lord God, let a word come forth that is directly from you, Lord God. Let it touch our hearts. Let it prick us, Lord God. Help the individuals listening, Lord God, to have open hearts, to have minds that are receptive to what you would have them to hear. And then when the word is spoken, Lord, help us to live lives according to what your word says. It's truly in the name of Jesus Christ that we do pray. Amen. Amen. On this day, we will read from Luke chapter 23, verse 46, and I will be reading from the English Standard Version. Luke chapter 23, verse 46. And it says, "Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last." Amen. On that Good Friday, these words from Luke chapter 23 are the last words of Jesus before his death on the cross. During those last 6 hours, even as kindness was crucified by cruelty, Jesus offered words of forgiveness. He offered words of salvation, words of relationship, abandonment, distress, triumph, and reunion. He asked the Father to forgive sinners. He offered hope and salvation to a sinner repentant of their deeds. He honored the law of God and relationship by ensuring his mother was cared for even after his death. He suffered the pain, the separation, and punishment we deserve as the sins of the world were placed on his shoulders. All of the suffering being done while he was a human being with the full physical effect of crucifixion. Fulfilling prophecy, the anticipated Messiah was promised. He had come and he had completed his assignment. And then Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." We have seen these words before, written in Psalm 31 and 5, by David. David, who was anointed as a boy to later lead Israel as king. David, who faced a giant named Goliath and defeated him. David, who was chased away by a jealous King Saul and forced to hide in caves, living the life of an outlaw. David, who from the time of his anointing to the time of his death had many problems, trials, and tribulations. But even in the midst of trouble, he had a deep and abiding faith in God. Even as David was on the run from King Saul, possibly in one of those caves, David said, "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God." David, the man you know, a man after God's own heart, knew that in what appeared to be a hopeless situation, there was still hope in God. In a like manner, even in the place of human despair, Jesus' utterance of these words was an intentional act of faith in the Father. Some translations of texts use the words commit or commend, which mean to place in the hands of, to give over to, or to entrust to. Jesus committed his spirit to God for his divine care and his protection. He trusted God in his righteousness to deliver him. He placed his life back into the hands of the Father who so loved the world that he sent his one and his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Not only did Jesus demonstrate his faith in the Father, but he further expressed his relationship to the Father. If you remember, after Jesus was baptized, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." God was well pleased in his obedient son. Yes, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came not to be served, but to serve. And he came to say nothing in his own authority, but only what was commanded by the Father for him to say. He came down from heaven not to do his will, but to do the will of the one who sent him. God the Father saw the beauty of character and self-sacrifice in God the Son. And he loved the Son all the more because of it. So we see the faith in the Father, the relationship to the Father. But by committing his spirit back to the Father, he insisted that the death on the cross did not represent the last word. Faced with a body bruised and beaten, Jesus, both fully human and fully divine, committed his spirit during those last moments of his life. Now, as you think about the life of Jesus, our lives even, you have the physical and you have the spiritual entities. Zechariah 12:1 says, "Thus declares the Lord, who stretched out the heavens and founded the earth and formed the spirit of man within him." Ecclesiastes 12:7 goes on to tell us that, "For then the dust, which is our bodies, will return to the earth, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." The physical fact is that these old earthly temples will perish. These leaning houses of ours will crumble. But the spiritual fact is that the believers get to live on. The believers get to live on at physical death because of the spirit which the Father has formed. Jesus' last words, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," was his acknowledgement, his insistence that death on the cross did not represent the last word. His entrusting his spirit to him that gave it, acknowledging that his spirit was immortal and did not die with the body, but was now being returned to the Father, that gives me hope today. Hope that if death led Jesus safely into the hands of God, does it not do the same for all who trust in Jesus today? Jesus knew that even as his earthly body perished, there would be eternal life with the Father in heaven. Even in his death, Jesus was master and was in control. He laid down his life freely and voluntarily for his sheep, which no man or devil otherwise could have taken away from him. He became the ultimate and perfect sacrifice to save us from our sins. In John 10, Jesus says, "Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." Who is this Jesus? He is the truth and the head of the church. Jesus, the Lord and the Emmanuel. Jesus, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus, our resurrected and returning Redeemer. And if you have read past this point in the story, you know that after Jesus gave up the ghost, he was buried, but on the third day, he rose with all power of heaven and earth in his hands. What power? All power. The power to save, the power to deliver, the power to protect us in our troubles, even if he doesn't immediately deliver us from our troubles. The power to heal from disease like coronavirus. The power to create life in dead situations. The power to unite a world in worship of a true and living God, even when we are all locked behind the doors of our homes. The power to open the eyes of the blind so that they can see the Savior who seeks relationship with them. For 2,000 years, he has never been forgotten. He has the power to make an unbeliever a believer. I just believe that when it's all said and done, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus the Christ is our Lord. What is his name? They call him Jesus.